I'm David Marcus, host of Drinks with the Deal, and today our guest is Mark Beckett, the Global Vice Chair of M&A at Latham & Watkins. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, David. Glad to be here.
So we're going to talk about your career arc, how you came to M&A, and then a brief but really critical stint in-house that you did at SanDisk, and then returning to private practice, and how many of those relationships at SanDisk have been critical in your career back at Latham. So with that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to the law.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Massachusetts, actually went to Stanford for undergrad to kind of try a different atmosphere, if you will. At Stanford undergrad, really enjoyed the startup atmosphere, the tech atmosphere, the community out here. Decided to go to Harvard for law school back east, and very quickly after law school decided to come back to the tech community here in Silicon Valley. I knew this is where I wanted to start my legal career, really in the tech atmosphere, working with tech companies. I had no idea what I was going to do within that sphere, but you know, I actually thought at the start of my career that I was going to be an emerging companies lawyer working with startups, but actually pivoted into M&A pretty quickly at starting at Latham out in Silicon Valley, which I'm glad I did, because when I was interviewing at firms out here, I remember walking into the office of Kit Kaufman, who's one of the most senior guys at Latham, full stop, back then. And he told me, well, if you don't know if you want to be an emerging companies lawyer, if you want to be an M&A lawyer, you should come to Latham because you could do either. And so I'm glad that happened.
And how would you compare the two practices and what ultimately drew you to M&A as opposed to an emerging companies practice?
So there are similarities and there are obvious differences. In terms of the differences with the emerging companies practice, you are catering to 100 plus clients, dozens in any given day, bouncing between kind of normal course requests for consulting agreements or attending board meetings or really anything that they have going on from the day to day along the way. Whereas on the M&A side, right, you're typically involved in maybe a handful of transactions at any given point during your practice that are taking up all your time. But from a similarity standpoint, right, practicing out here in Silicon Valley, you still very often get to work with startups. It's just in the context of M&A, which is really interesting insofar as you're selling a 10-person startup. You get to work pretty closely with founders. You get actually pretty agile and changing the narrative in terms of how you explain legal concepts. And one of the nice things about my practice is that it really spans the whole spectrum from a 10-person startup to, you know, representing Broadcom or Cadence in conjunction with a buy-side acquisition, whether it's public or private or whatever it may be. And so when I was a young associate, I kind of recognized that early, that there was just a huge spectrum of clients and types of M&A, and that if I focused on it early and frankly got really good at it, and in particular catering to that whole spectrum of clients, that I could develop a practice that would keep me interested long term.
And you started practicing in 2010, which was just after the great financial crisis.
Yeah.
What was that period like in the Valley as compared to New York, where things were still pretty grim at that point?
Yeah, it was a little grim in the Valley too. Actually, I didn't start at Latham straight away. I summered in 2008 when times were still good. And I remember a senior partner here telling me tech is not going to get hit as hard as the financial centers of the world. Of course, it turned out to be wrong. You know, I mean, it was right in some respects insofar as it wasn't as bad, but it still got pretty bad out here. I think we ultimately, Latham, among all other firms, offered a bunch of deferral options for incoming associates. And, I initially wasn't going to take it like many of my peers, but I remember the moment I changed my mind pretty vividly. I was on a beach in Hawaii with my girlfriend at the time, now wife. And I think I woke up from a nap and turned to her and said, why wouldn't I take that deal? So ultimately decided to take the deferral after law school, spent an extra year out in Massachusetts before moving out back here. In 2010, when I did ultimately start, things were still really choppy and pretty slow. There was a centralized book system for first-year associates in terms of staffing. And when those emails with work assignments came out, people would jump on them. There was definitely more capacity than the work available. And a lot of that actually has helped me explain to associates nowadays, or back a year ago when things were slower, that these things come and go, but gave me a lot of perspective on that front. I consider myself lucky. When I was a young associate, I got pretty early in my tenure, I got staffed through a relationship with a mentor partner to an M&A deal. And again, I wasn't expecting to be doing M&A, but it was a great opportunity to get into a sell side transaction. Ended up being a really hectic sell side process with multiple bidders taken to the very end. And it turned out that the senior associate who staffed alongside me when I was a first year, he was an emerging companies guy and was just too busy to really deal with a lot of it. And so I got a lot of experience really, really fast in that month where we were taking up the sale process. And so I really enjoyed that, developed a good reputation as part of that early in my career, and then used that to leverage other opportunities and other practice groups, because Latham lets you try anything you want in the corporate sphere your first couple of years. And so I did some capital markets, some emerging companies work, but pretty quickly realized that M&A was really my go-to. I mean, I just enjoyed the pace. I enjoyed being able to be a part of a really successful transaction like that, and knew that pretty quickly that's where I wanted to focus.
And then talk about your move to SanDisk when you were about a third year associate.
Yeah, I mean, it was not planned. I was actually working on a buy-side transaction for SanDisk at the time. And my direct contact at SanDisk actually called me, and I remember the conversation vividly, where she effectively told me, why don't you give it a try? Come in-house. And I was intrigued. The pay was competitive. And I ultimately decided this is a pretty early opportunity in my career. And the quote-unquote worst that could happen is that I decide it's not for me and that I come back to the firm in a year and keep at it. Because I really enjoyed the firm. I mean, I enjoyed the work I was doing. Probably didn't like how much I was doing back then. And that probably at some level contributed to my decision to take the offer at SanDisk. Looking back on it, I'm really glad that I did. It gave me a lot of perspective. I went in-house, spent a little less than a year there. They had pretty robust M&A pipeline on the front end of that time, dried up after time. And I remember the moment I decided I was going to come back to the firm. I think I got off a proxy call with ISS. And literally after, like, we hung up with ISS and I walked straight to my boss's office and told him that this ain't for me. I'm a deal guy at heart. And so they were incredibly supportive. I think they recognized that with the deal pipeline drying up, that it might not be something that I want to stick out long term. And so, for me, it was a no-brainer to come back to Latham, because like I said, I love the firm while I was there, and decided to come back.
So talk about what you learned during your time in-house, lessons you still use, and people whom you met who you still do work for.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of a mind shift on my end. I got a lot of perspective going in-house, a perspective that I think my wife very much values even to this day, where I decided that I wanted to practice at a law firm. I enjoyed practicing at a law firm, but that I would be in a little bit more control as to what my practice looks like. And that at the end of the day, a job is a job is a job. And whether that's at a law firm or whether that's at in-house, there are going to be positives and negatives of any job. And what the objective is to maximize the positives and minimize the negatives. So I came back to the firm with that sort of perspective, which was really healthy in a lot of respects and has actually probably stuck with me since then, even as a partner. I think about it in that light, which gives me really good perspective and allows me to maybe not get as worked up about a lot of things along the way. And then in terms of how it's influenced my practice, at the end of the day, this is a relationship business. And I very quickly realized as I pivoted into partnership that a lot of those relationships from SanDisk, those very quickly pivoted into client relationships pretty organically, just because those are people that I had really great working relationships for a long time. SanDisk was a client before I went in-house, and they were a client after I went in-house. And so I continued working with folks there. Just to give a few examples, Eric Whitaker at 10X Genomics, he was the general counsel at the time at SanDisk. My boss at SanDisk was Garth Bosow, now deputy general counsel of Airbnb. And when he transitioned to Airbnb, he gave us a call to start doing their M&A work. And then that moved into their IPO and their corporate work, which has been great for the firm. Stephanie Wells, deputy general counsel at Cadence Design Systems, very significant client for me. And she actually moved to Cadence after I had already been working with them for a couple of years, but she was one of my peers at SanDisk at the time. And so great to continue that.
But when you moved to SanDisk, you didn't really have any idea that this was going to happen.
I did not have that mindset at all, right? When I moved to SanDisk, I was focused on doing the work, getting a good experience. I never had an intent to come back to the firm, but those relationships just develop. And, you know, I never intended that would necessarily lead to client relationships. When I came back to the firm, my eyes were not set on partnership. Like I said, I decided that what I wanted to do was maximize the positives of the job, minimize the negatives, such that if I go a few years at the firm, regardless of what happens, I could look back on those last few years and decide that was time well spent. And so just so happened that it worked out really well for me. And I came back to the firm and got on some really interesting transactions, developed a lot of great relationships, proved myself along the way, and obviously had the vote of confidence from the firm to be promoted to partner. And it happened all very naturally in terms of those relationships developing into clients.
Talk about the transition to partner, just what that's like.
Yeah. So nobody really tells you how to do it, is what I would say. Senior mentorship is definitely important. I was lucky enough to have a couple of really senior folks, Tad Freeze included in particular, who helped really shepherd me along the process. When you're a young partner, typically they tell you really just focus on doing good work, staying busy, and things will fall into place from there. It definitely was a focus of mine, but at heart, I'm also a relationship guy. I have strong relationships with a lot of different folks. And I was lucky enough that early in my partnership years, things kind of snowballed where I developed a bunch of client relationships really early. And I would say that's a little unusual, but it's been great because I have a really interesting mix of my own clients, clients of the firm that has developed into a really great practice that, frankly, I love doing this job. right? Like that, it's really been great in that respect.
Did you feel that you had to become intentional about how you built and maintained relationships as you became a senior associate and then a partner? Or did your mentors tell you, look, this is a skill you have, you're good at it, it's really valuable as a lawyer, just keep doing it?
It was all very natural. I mean, I did not keep relationships with the intent that those folks would be clients. I kept those relationships because I generally liked those people, you know, and I wanted to be a sounding board based on whatever's happening on their day to day. And that's ultimately what this practice is, right? I mean, we're trusted advisors. And so when you have that sort of relationship with folks, it can very naturally turn into a client relationship. And again, you never really approach those relationships with the intent that it's really just to develop a client, but that's ultimately where it often goes because those folks trust you. And they also know that you'll do what you can to help them and vice versa.
Talk about your work as global vice chair of M&A and what it's like to do that job as a relatively young partner.
Yeah, but for that in-house period, I've been at Latham for close to 15 years. And so have gotten to know the place really, really well. And as I moved into the management role as global vice chair of the M&A practice, again, nobody really told you what you're supposed to be doing. And so what I did for the first 6 months, frankly, was just kind of learn about the practice, learn about my partners and what they're doing across various geographies, because you can't manage something without fully understanding. And so really spent that time to absorb, understand what historically has been done from a management standpoint, and then really just use my experience within the firm to try to help my partners, right? We have a lot of lateral partners. We have a lot of new partners. And the real focus for me has been, how can I help, right? How can I help develop your practice in the way that you want at Latham, leveraging all the resources that we have within Latham, which are many. And if you look at the role that way, a lot of people welcome the interaction and welcome the resource within the firm.
Talk about the difference between integrating a lateral partner and working with someone who may have, as you did, started the firm and then is made a partner internally.
Yeah, I love both aspects of that, right? So on a lateral partner front, everybody has their background, their story, and their objectives in terms of making a move. And I have a front-end meeting with all of our lateral M&A partners as they kind of come in and have a discussion about what their objectives are and how we can help facilitate the move, how we can help facilitate their client relationships, and, you know, also how we can plug them into the broader Latham platform, because many of those partners realize that their practice on this platform could be 2 or 3x what it was based on the fact that we've got the reach that we do and the resources that we do. And so that's really the focus on the lateral partner front. On the new partner front, there are similarities insofar as you are looking for ways to make sure that people are really well integrated within the platform, staying busy, getting good experience, building their brand and the like. But there's also a lot of just guidance that can give new partners as to where they spend their time, where they focus their energy, how they develop those client relationships over time. And I think people really value that perspective because, again, as a new partner, probably as a lateral partner too, there's not a lot of guidance necessarily that firms give. And so having a resource internally that can just help, and a resource that's been around a while, that can make all the difference for someone's experience at the firm.
What, in part from your own experience, but also in working with other partners, what kind of guidance do you think is really helpful that often young lawyers or lawyers who are moving laterally don't get?
So the obvious stuff is obviously that, right? Do good work, get your name out there and the like. But I do think that the relationship piece of this business is really, really important. And so I encourage people to really get out there, really develop those relationships, both internally and externally. And internally, I mean within the firm, because it's a big place. And the more relationships that you develop within the firm, the more integrated you're going to be, the more opportunities you're going to get, whether that's work opportunities, management responsibilities, firm initiatives, whatever it may be, that all of those things really pay dividends for your career long term and your ability to succeed in a place like Latham.
And then one of the other lessons you mentioned from your time at SanDisk, which is the reality that as demanding as it is and as fulfilling as you may find it, it is still a job. How has that affected how you balanced the job with the rest of your life? And how do you try and do that now?
Yeah. So again, even as a partner now, right, I have this philosophy that regardless of what happens over the next few years, I need to be able to look back on those past few years and decide time well spent, right? And so with that in mind, I do make sure that I'm not missing big family events. I've got two young daughters, a five-year-old and a three-year-old. I don't miss recitals. I try not to miss family dinners and the like, because that, frankly, can be the negative of a job like this. And if your objective is to minimize the negatives, you got to make time. And so I'm lucky enough to have a bunch of clients who are great about all of that. And they understand that I obviously carve time about that. I think they appreciate that. And I think there's a really healthy aspect to that balance in terms of my practice. And in terms of the day-to-day, frankly, I just don't get too worked up about stuff. I don't take things personally. I have this ethos that reasonable minds can disagree and they can still talk about it in a very rational way. And that's important to keep in mind. Otherwise, you could really spiral and get too worked up about it, and that's not healthy. And so that carries through in my practice in terms of how I tend to negotiate issues. Also plays into the management role, because there can be lots of crunchy conversations that can happen over time. And you just try to keep it level and rational, explain perspectives, and you hope that that's reciprocated. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but that's life.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, David, great to be here. Thank you.
For Drinks is the Deal, I'm David Martins.